right, cool. So I'm Edwin.
And I'm Jocelyn, and this is The Long Overdue,
a show about libraries.
And each episode will feature a special guest in a short conversation.
And focusing on the Soros Library and beyond. And today's guest is Al Gomez, a good friend of mine, my roommate, and a great colleague as well. He is our digital imaging and circulation manager over at the library. He's also an artist with his bachelor's in art, in digital art, right?
Yeah, concentration in digital art.
Concentration in digital art. All right, well, welcome, Al.
Yeah. Welcome, welcome, welcome. How are you feeling?
I'm chilling. It's cool. He's chilly.
Al is filling in today for a guest that had to postpone, so we're very thankful that Al was able to join us at such a last-minute warning, and it took some convincing, but we're really glad that he's here.
It's my first day.
It's your first day, man. No worries.
Al is very well known, maybe not by name, but by his dry erase illustrations that can be found all over the library. Can you tell us about those?
I mean, what do you want me to tell you?
Well, like, I'm curious when it first started.
It just came across that, you know, we ordered a bunch of whiteboards. Mm-hmm. And obviously we wanted to use them to advertise and, you know, put it out there. And we also had certain study rooms that didn't have a whiteboard anymore. Mm. So that was also a reason why we got them. And then, again, we started promoting stuff on them. So we got a lot more, like, I guess, in a way of showing off what we have in the library and stuff like that. And me having the background of, I guess, I'm an artist.
You are an artist, 100%.
So they just told me, they were like, hey, well, what if you start, you know, doing some stuff on there so we can get more attention, and, you know, it's a good way of actually putting your stuff out there in a way. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, just to me now, I guess it's easy, but it had a learning curve, just like everything.
Sure.
Because the way the expos work and all this, so I don't know, but it's fun now.
Yeah.
But it was something.
The focal point to me right now of the dry erase boards is the comic book like ad. Mm-hmm. How long did it take you to make that one? It's very detailed.
About a week.
Wow. How many hours, I think, would you say you put into it?
Yeah, I guess maybe like 2 hours at least, maybe a day that I work.
Okay, I was like, it was more than 2 hours total. 2 hours a day, yeah. So no, like 10 hours, do you think?
About, give or take. And it was also, again, trial and error, and then also mm-hmm. in regards to we're running out of expos.
Right.
So. How many did you go through?
I think, I want to say a core box, which has the essential, like black, red, and blue, and mm-hmm. green.
When I was a teacher, my favorite day was whenever I would open up a new box of expo markers. They just feel so nice.
Yeah.
The art that you make on these dry erase boards is by nature like ephemeral, like it is not permanent. It's going to be erased. How does that affect you?
I mean, at the beginning it was like, oh, like I put in so much work. Yeah, but I guess it gets to the point where it's like, you get over it, and eventually it's like, moving on to the next thing.
Cool. I take pictures of them. Do you take pictures of them to save? Yeah. Okay, that's good. That's good. Right. Anyway, back on topic.
All right, Al, so real quick question. What do libraries mean to you specifically now that you're working in one?
I mean, to me, like, I think it's a place to, you know, learn, study, and to get information. And, I mean, it has always been that way. You know, ever since, you know, maybe elementary all the way to high school, mm-hmm. that's always something that has always been, you know, pushed on you, I guess, in that aspect that, oh, this is a place if you need something to distract yourself or even get information, mm-hmm. that was a good place to go. So I guess in a way it has, you know, influenced me mm-hmm. to, I don't know, in that aspect that it's something that you can always rely on.
Yeah. That was a great answer.
Oh, yeah. And I mean,
fantastic.
And, like, how often would you use a library in the past, like, compared to, like, now?
Well, you see, when I was in high school or whatever, I was a little bit more involved in the aspect because I was in a book club.
That's so cool.
And I participated in like actually going to go and like reading to elementary, you know what I mean, for the kids and everything. I was a little bit more involved, and in a way, I guess the library has been part of my life.
Yeah,
this whole time. So,
so it was like a comfortable fit to you when you.
Yeah, it was a sort of like a, you know, safe haven, I guess you could say.
So it was like an easy transition for you when you came to like Sora.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's your history with our library specifically? You were a student worker before. You now have a full-time position. What was that journey like?
Well, I guess it started off that like I wanted to be a librarian myself.
Yeah.
And you know, that I guess the way of me getting the student job, it was a good way of like a stepping stone, I guess. But now that I realized how much work it goes into being a librarian and all this, I'm like, I don't think I could do school again.
Yeah.
But yeah, like at first it was a good way of like getting to learn the inner workings of an actual library, not just, oh, I'm going to go check out a book.
Right.
So that was very interesting, and it was a good way of learning how everything works.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. And that always surprises you, because like you said, like you just go check out a book. Oh, that's it. That's all that library is for. Right?
Right.
But then you move behind the desk and you're like, there's a lot more.
Yes.
I got to deal with.
So what does our library mean to you? You described libraries as a safe haven, as a place that was always there for you. Whose phone is going off? I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's fine.
Are you gonna shush the phone?
I'm gonna shush I'm gonna make sure my own phone is on silent. So our library.
Yeah.
Libraries as a safe haven. How does our library fit into that mold that you view all libraries as?
Right. So as me, you know, starting working as a student worker, and then, you know, I moved up, one of the biggest things that was very, I guess, influential on me was the staff that, you know, they took me in as like, you know, a family. So it made it more of like, you know, safe haven. It felt like home. It felt like, you know, I was working with like maybe brother, sister. And the staff was very welcoming. So that always helped that transition.
Yeah.
And it made it smooth. So, you know, it's kind of like a comfort zone.
Oh, I like that. And if I'm not mistaken, the position that you have was one that was created for you. Is that right? Sort of,
because we started getting into more of like in workings with the archives of having to like obviously update their stuff and everything.
Transitioning the archive to be more digital as well.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So in a way, yeah, it was kind of started the position for me, but it also was something that they've always wanted to look into.
Yeah.
And by me already being part of the library, they were like, oh, that could be a smooth transition.
Mm-hmm. Well, and your emphasis on digital art too,
right.
Like perfect fit.
So it had, I had a little bit of background.
That's good.
So.
Very cool. Very cool.
And then with the whole, the staff being welcoming to you, do you feel like you've been doing that the same with like the new student workers that come in and stuff like that? Like, have you tried to emulate that sense as well for them?
Yes, because I actually get to spend a lot more time than you guys do with them. So, you know, it's like, I guess in that aspect of like building a bond that like, you know, hey, we're here for you if you ever need anything, and give them that sense that obviously also, you know, they're coming here to study and all this, and they're away from mom and dad, you know, we can actually be there for them in an aspect of like, hey, if you ever need food or whatever, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, the basics of food, of course, we always have snacks and drinks for the students. Like, that's something that Cindy and you do a really good job of making sure are always there. But in addition to that, like just the comfort, I think that you guys provide to the students by just like being a, like, when I think about the circulation desk, I think of, like, Cindy as mom and you as, like, dad almost. Like, not that you're the student's dad. Maybe you're, like, the cool uncle or something.
Okay.
But, like, that you guys do such a good job of taking care of the students and making them feel like they're at home the same way that the staff made you feel.
Right.
Cute.
We would, they always tell me the story of how they would mess with Cindy about that. Because everybody.
That she's mom.
Yeah.
She's like. That always
we're
going
to have to smear her name so that she can agree to come on the podcast and clear the air. So, yeah.
No, and Well, I mean, I can definitely vouch for what, like, Al said, because when I first started working there, I think it was, like, the first week after, he immediately shows up to my dorm room. And I have barely started meeting people, and he just knocks on my door, and I'm like, oh, hey, what's up, man? Did I forget something at work or something? And he's like, you want to go to Stripes and get some chips?
Aww.
And I was like,
that's so wholesome. And now y'all are roomies and BFFs. Roomies and besties. I love it. That's cute.
And I remember even asking him, I was like, why? And he's like, just because. Oh, okay. And I was like, are we driving? Like, no, we're walking. Oh, okay.
That's a nice walk.
Yeah.
The
way I saw it, it was like, you know, a bonding experience, mm-hmm. of like, because you can start a conversation in a car and then, oh, wait, we need to get off.
Yeah.
And while you're walking, you're into it. You're like, all right, that's cool.
There's something to be said about having like physical activity during a conversation as well, just because like you have more endorphins that are engaged, and like that total body response that teachers talk about. You probably learned that whenever you were doing education classes, how much more like neurons are connecting whenever you are making like doing something physical while you're learning. Mm-hmm. So going on a walk to get to know somebody is great. If Pride and Prejudice has taught us anything. Anyway.
You know, and it kept the conversation active, because you're doing something, and obviously when you're working out or something, you want to distract yourself a bit.
Yes,
so a conversation really, like, you forget that you're walking.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
No, but yeah, like I said, I could totally vouch for that, because that was my experience when I first met Al. So, like, definitely vouch for that.
Cool.
So
I did promise Al that since he agreed to come on the show, that we would talk about comic books. So first question, and I said that I was going to ask you this question, but I said I do not want to know the answer, because I want to be surprised by your response. DC or Marvel?
Okay, that's a loaded question.
Yeah. And I'm totally fine if you're like, they both have pros and cons, but if you had to choose one.
But that's the thing, though, like, there's two different things, though. Comics and movies.
Comic books exclusively.
Just comic books? Mm-hmm. I feel like DC.
Yeah.
Is
Batman's your boy.
Yes.
I get it.
Yeah. Reason being is because I feel that, you know, DC Comics, obviously they've always portrayed as like being the dark.
Yeah.
Darker stories, darker.
Detective Comics is what it stands for, yeah?
Well, there's two different issues and stuff.
Oh. What does DC stand for?
Oh, yes. Detective Comics. Okay, yes. But I thought you were referring to an actual, like, that's the way Batman, because it's under Detective Comics. There's an actual issue.
Oh.
Called Detective Comics.
Okay. Cool.
But in referring to that, yes, they're dark or whatever, but it also makes it more real.
Yeah, the characters in DC, I will say, are more believable. Mm-hmm. You very often see, especially Batman, like, maybe this, like, his wealth is not necessarily believable, but, like, his lack of superpowers make him a believable character.
Right.
Our director has left the room.
You know, I've always found that ironic, because Marvel uses, like, real-life locations, and then you got DC using Gotham.
Yeah, New York City.
Like, stuff like that. Yeah. And, like, so it's interesting that, like, DC is the more, like, realistic one, but they have, like, fake city names.
Right. And it also comes back to whenever, I guess, they were created. Obviously, DC was first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then 5 years later, Marvel came into play.
Mm-hmm.
And the way Stan Lee portrayed it was that I wanted to be, you know, real life, you know, that you can actually relate to stuff. Marvel's early stuff was relatable.
Yeah.
You know, and especially one of the biggest impacts was Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Because it was an actual family.
Oh, that's cute. Okay.
So it was, you know, interacting with brother, sister, married, you know what I mean, friend or whatever. And that also kind of paved the way as to what it was going to be Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And DC, obviously, it has its ups and downs or whatever. But I guess now they've gained an actual, I guess, understanding in what path they're going or in what direction they're going.
Yeah, I could see that.
And yeah, like, I guess in the comic book, you know, world or whatever, I would prefer DC.
I like it. Movies, though, sounds like you prefer Marvel.
Yes.
Okay.
Because
so much better, like, funded, right? Like,
well, Also, you gotta take in consideration production companies and all this.
Yeah, absolutely.
That it's not just, you know, their own company as DC.
Yeah, they're Warner Brothers, exactly. Yeah. And Warner Brothers tanking. But Disney, owning Marvel, they have all the money and all the resources in the whole world. So they can make incredible movies because they have great people that they can afford to include. Anyway, sorry for stealing your answer.
No. Yeah, it completely makes sense. And also, it's Warner Brothers having to, like, oh, well, you know what? Like, that's not going to work. Or, no, take this off. So, like, the movie could be great, but mm-hmm. then Warner Brothers comes into play, and it just completely sometimes ruins the whole movie.
I can see that.
So, yeah. I mean, but then again, if they're the ones paying for it being produced and stuff, you can't really argue.
Sure. That's true. Can't really argue with your funders.
And so, like, we've both seen DC shows and Marvel shows, mm-hmm. like the live action ones and the animated ones. Who do you think has the upper hand on either of them?
Well, now Marvel, I feel like it's also running the show in this one.
Mm-hmm.
DC, again, it goes back to being under Warner Brothers, and having to run, like, you know, they have the CW. And most of their shows, obviously, their audience is just, you know, I guess teens, young adults.
Oh, like Smallville? Is that what y'all are referencing?
Like Flash.
Flash.
Oh, yeah,
Green Arrow.
Yeah.
Like, it's more drama-based than the actual, I guess, you know, combining both.
Mm-hmm.
Not just completely concentrating in, hey, you know, this happened or whatever, and it's, like, sad or, like, you know what I mean? So... I don't know. They're working on it, I guess.
They're working on it.
I remember Smallville being on when I was a kid, and, like, my parents probably wouldn't let me watch it. Mm-hmm. Like, it was maybe on too late or something, and so I was always kind of enamored by the idea of it, but I never watched it.
I watched it in Spanish.
Nice.
Like, I would watch the reruns on El Canal Cinco y todo eso.
Right.
And I would just watch it in Spanish. I'm like, oh, okay, it's cool. What I remember the most is the theme song of, like, the show. That was it.
Yeah, sure.
That was kind of, like, iconic.
I would always sometimes forget that it's a show about Superman because they, like, rarely showed off his powers.
He seems just like a normal kid,
yeah, it's like
right?
some normal dude going mm-hmm. through his life and, like, oh, yeah, look, here's a special appearance by, like, Booster Gold or something. And I was like, oh, so it is a DC show.
Yeah.
So out of all the comics you've read, possibly read in the future, which one would you say is, like, your top three favorites?
Wow, that's a good one.
We could do top five if you want
to. Top five. Well, one that I usually, whenever people ask me, like, oh, hey, where can I start or where should I begin? One of my favorite stories would be Batman Hush.
Okay.
And we have that actually at the library. That's a plug, you know? what is it called? And it's a good, I guess, intro book because it shows off a bunch of characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it covers a bunch of characters. So that way you get to see, like, the range on how, like, you know, oh, this character does this or this character can do this. So it gives you a little bit of understanding what the actual DC universe is.
I like that.
So...
is that a standalone, like, graphic novel or is it a series?
Well, it's a series. Okay. Well, not a series. It was just like a short, you know, a one-shot type of arc.
Oh, okay.
But it's like a collection.
Cool.
So if you start reading it, you'll get the whole story there.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Another one would be, I want to say Batman, the New 52, which would be like the beginning of a new series completely. And it's a good introduction to also try to get understanding of, like, who Batman is. And also a fresh, completely new villain introduced.
Ooh.
So that's actually really good. Because you actually started and, you know, obviously nobody knew this whenever this came out. So
right.
It was a good way of, like, for you going into it.
Cool.
What other one? I'm a big fan of the X-Men.
Okay, yeah.
So, I don't know. I guess one of the reasons why I like the X-Men a lot is, I guess it made me understand different points of view.
Sure.
Because obviously everybody thinks comic books and they think superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't realize that, like, there's deeper meanings into everything.
Right.
And one of the things that X-Men taught me was, like, obviously just because you're different, you know, means that you get segregated. You mean that mm-hmm. you get pushed to the side. And if you take that all away and just basing it off of how we look or sometimes what we do, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because not all the mutants have... Do they all have a special ability?
I mean...
Like, some are greater than others. And
Yeah, like, sometimes yeah. it could just be an appearance. It right. doesn't even have to be a power or anything.
Yeah, it's just, I guess that's what I'm asking is, like, do all the mutants benefit from their mutation?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no. So, like, again, it's like, the way I saw it was like, oh, okay, you know. That made me help learn, I guess, in that mm-hmm. aspect that, it, like, not everything's peachy.
Yeah, I like that.
So...
I like that. I like the X-Men too.
I mean, I know the answer for this one, but who's your favorite X-Men?
That's a tough one. what do you mean, movie, character? What?
Character specifically.
There's a few though.
Go for it.
Obviously, everybody likes Wolverine.
Yeah. Classic. He's kind of an asshole, though. Like, the first X-Men movie, I was watching it and I was like, why do we like him? Like, he is not nice. But he grows on you.
Yeah.
For sure.
No.
Mm-hmm. He's the lone wolf. Stuff.
Yeah.
One of my other favorite characters is Gambit.
I don't know that I know that character.
Yeah, no.
This is what I get canceled over.
you never watched the X-Men cartoons when they came out?
No.
He actually, have you seen X-Men Origins?
Maybe.
With, like, they kind of gave Wolverine his origin story.
Okay, then yeah.
You've seen that movie?
Yeah.
You know the guy with the playing cards? That he shows up to, like, a bar or something. I'm watching
this weekend.
yes.
Okay.
One of the reasons is because I think he's pretty cool, you know? And his, I guess, weapon is playing cards.
Oh, okay. He sounds lit then.
He uses, like, some type of kinetic energy and can make things explode. So.
I'm into this guy.
Yeah, something I personally always liked about him is that they always portray him as, like, he sometimes switches sides, but because he kind of looks up for himself at times.
Yeah.
Like.
Chaotic neutral.
Yeah, like there's episodes where he'll like be working for himself, he'll be working for like Magneto, but then most of the time he's with the X-Men.
Mm.
So
cool.
Yeah, he's definitely a cool character.
Yeah. Tell us about the comic book collection that we have in our library.
Well, we had a few, but it grew whenever Scott Cupp brought in a bunch of books that, like, obviously it made our collection grow. And we have a variety, like a large variety of, you know, different stages of comics. You know, we're talking about, I think we have a few of like Golden Age, Silver Age, Bronze Age, and then Modern.
Cool.
So we have a large, you know, and then some completely like different stuff. And so... I don't know. I like to promote it a lot, and I know a lot of people are like, ooh, comic books, mm-hmm. superheroes. But no, it's not just that. We have other stuff, too. One of the books I actually read that we had, and I also had to do it for an assignment, was My Friend Dahmer.
Okay.
I can't remember the artist or the author right now. But it's basically this guy that... went to high school with Jeffrey Dahmer.
Scary.
So you got to see how, you know, Dahmer was in high school.
How, what's the word? Seemingly normal and like very friendly, I'm sure. People like that can be.
Yeah. So again, like stuff like that, that, you know what I mean?
Charismatic. Yeah. Charismatic. That's the word I was thinking.
So I don't know. Like we have a bunch of different stuff. So
all available to check out on the third floor of the library.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, like I said, and one of the things that I found interesting that Scott brought up, that I was like, well, why don't you sell this? Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, that's the thing, though. Like, my collection's getting too big to the point where I don't have space anymore. But I would still like to have access to it.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, well, that is a perfect way.
Yeah, great way of looking at it.
Yeah, like using the library as external storage,
pretty
basically.
Pretty much, yeah. And, I mean, we that. Benefit from
yeah.
it.
Yeah, absolutely.
We get access to it. So yeah. I thought that was fun.
That's definitely a great way to keep your belongings, but share them in a like equitable and a way that you know that they're going to be taken care of.
Right.
Too. Mm-hmm. Because we take special care of our books. So
yes.
Pretty cool.
Especially because some of those issues are pretty dang good. Where like you do not want to see them damaged at all.
What do you think is maybe some of the more notable items that we have in the comic book collection?
What do you mean by notable?
Like,
what do you mean? What do I mean by notable? No, just kidding. Maybe more rare or not as common or something that you're like, everybody should read this. Batman Hush, you said, was top of your list.
Yeah, we have a few that I would say that, you know, it was maybe, I don't know exactly the date on it, but we have some that are like horror comics.
Ooh.
And obviously art style and everything, it just screams like maybe 50s, 60s.
Cool. So like older editions, basically.
So
okay.
And like, I mean, they're like binded books collected, you know what I mean? And I think that those are very interesting. And you also get to see a little bit of like, I guess, newspaper clippings of stuff like that. Oh, that this is where they used to be,
cool.
and stuff like that. So, you know, we do have a few, you know, diamond in the rough, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
No, yeah, definitely. He recently got me to read like the collection we have of Miss Marvel.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. And like, nice. He was telling me, he's like, because of the show that's about to come out, the price on actually owning that is gonna skyrocket.
Cool.
Yeah,
the show looks good. The trailer makes it look
sure.
like
yeah definitely good. I'm excited for that show.
Me too. Oh, a new Moon Knight tonight. That'll be
yes.
exciting.
Yes, that's right. We are sponsored by Marvel.
No.
Make sure to watch Moon Knight tonight. If you look at the bottom of the video, you will see the animation of like Moon Knight doing a flip, like catch Moon Knight on Wednesdays, stuff like that.
No Moon Knight.
Are you sure? I brought the mask too.
No. Okay. We're wrapping up here, Al. So what can you tell us? What do you love about Sol Ross? Not the person, the campus.
My brother's an alumni.
Cool.
So that kind of pushed me of actually coming to Sol Ross. And, you know, it's actually a really nice campus.
Yeah.
So, and I like the small, you know, one-to-one ratio with, like, even professors and stuff. I remember whenever I first started, I reached out to one of my professors and I was like, hey, I completely don't understand what I need to do. And she actually reached out to me and she was like, if you're down, I'm down to come down there on Saturday and we can work on it.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, like, you know, they're going out of their way to also help me.
That's so nice.
So that's one of the things that I like, that it was like, they're actually helping you out, not just, hey, good luck. You know what I mean?
There are schools like that. Sol Ross does have the lowest ratio of student to faculty. So we really do, students have an opportunity to interact personally with their professors and get the support that they need. Mm-hmm. And that's a great example of that in action. So pretty cool. Who was the faculty member? Do you remember?
No, I don't think they're here anymore.
Shout out to Mr. Professor. Cool. Edwin, do you want to ask our last question?
So, what do you specifically love about Alpine, now that you live here?
I like the sense of community.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because, like, the small town, like, you know, they're always involved. And especially, like, you know, with the Bucks, you know, like, the whole mm-hmm. town goes out and, like, goes out there and, like, supports the teams and stuff. Even if they don't have kids.
Yeah, they're there.
They're there to support the, you know, the community and everything. So, yeah, for sure. Like, I like that sense of, like, you know, community and, you know, family. Mm-hmm. So...
No, yeah, and
it's cute. I like that too.
Yeah, definitely. Very good answer to that. And I mean, I think that wraps up our.
Yeah. Anything podcast. Else that you want to?
No.
Talk about? Ask us anything.
No, I think we're. I think I know you guys.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
No, I think we're good.
Actually, yeah, Justin, what about you? Huh? DC or Marvel?
Batman's my favorite. I wanted a Batman tattoo since I was like 15 years old.
Did you get it?
No.
Why?
Because I kind of changed my mind. I was like, what if I... Okay, when Ben Affleck played Batman, I said, hell no. We're not getting a Batman tattoo anymore. Now that our Pats is playing Batman, it's back on the table.
Ah, I see.
It is back. It is a consideration now, so.
Nice.
But I really do like the Marvel shows that I've seen. I was never into it. I was like, Marvel is for normies. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But no, I'm loving Moon Knight. We started watching Daredevil also, the one that was like the Netflix original, but now mm-hmm. it's on Disney Plus. Wow, it's so good. Daredevil's another great example of a person who's just a person, and his special abilities are not necessarily like superpowers. He does have like super hearing and can like sense stuff, but he's just a guy. Yeah. And I like that.
I like that.
What about you, DC or Marvel?
See, just like Al, for me, that's a little bit of a loaded question, but what I always say is I like Marvel for the heroes, mm-hmm. and I like DC for the villains.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's how I always go about it.
So. Yeah, because the, like, villains in Marvel, they're just, like, bad guys. Like, they're just, like, evil for the sake of being evil, whereas, like, Joker has an origin story. Like, Lex Luthor is, like, an interesting character, mm-hmm. so.
And it goes back to what Al said about, like, DC being a little bit more realistic, mm-hmm. like... The Marvel villains are more outlandish. They're like way out there. Where you go to like DC villains and you're like, oh yeah, Harley Quinn has a PhD in psychology.
And yeah, like, she's psycho and it's incredible. I love her. Birds of Prey, such a great movie. Did y'all see that one?
Yeah.
Oh, great movie.
Great movie.
Maybe we are sponsored by
Marvel. I'm telling you, we are sponsored by both DC and Marvel.
No, I wish. That'd All be right. Fine. Well, I think that wraps it up. Thank you so much for coming,
Al. Cool.
You were awesome.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.